In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. You'll hopefully have found in amongst the pew sheets and the service booklet a sheet that looks like that, that just has a table on it, for which I'm very grateful to Reverend Dr. Ian Paul, who produced that breakdown of Mark chapter 7. So we're back in Mark, having had a little summer picnic feasting on a lot of bread from John's Gospel. Quite why the lectionary readers have us jumping out of Mark and onto John. I guess it's because they think John says more about the bread of life than Mark does. But here we are in Mark 7. But first, let me give you this thought to ponder on. You may want to ponder on it throughout the sermon, as you may find it more interesting to do that. You are just, in effect, a tube. Think about it. You are a tube. Comes in, goes through, goes out. You are just a tube. Leave you to ponder that one. When I was studying law, one of the things that I noticed right at the beginning was the difference between European law and English law, which caused us a lot of problems, and I'm not making a political statement here, but it caused us a lot of problems within the European Union. Do you remember all the, are you old enough to remember? The European Union are telling us we've got to have straight cucumbers and straight bananas. Do you remember that? Or are you not as old as me? The reason for that was a complete misunderstanding about the difference between the European approach to law and the English approach to law. And we had to develop our law in this country. The great Lord Denning said that we now have to look at the purpose of the law like our European friends. Because European law is based on what's the purpose of the law? If you like, what's the spirit behind the law? Whereas in England, we go by the letter of the law. So for example, when the European law decided, or European court, Parliament decided, that we should have standards for bananas and cucumbers, they just meant they should be good quality. That was the purpose. Our draftsmen in our parliament basically went, these are the standards for bananas, and anything that doesn't meet that standard cannot be sold. You get my drift? Yeah? So again, with that thought in mind, let's have a look. You may want your pew sheets open as well. Our Old Testament reading is Moses. It's like Moses' eve of battle speech, as a commanding officer would do. He's not going to go into the promised land, but he is recounting everything that has happened to Israel, and he's sending the youth pastor, who's now a bit more grown up, Joshua, to lead the people. Can you imagine what that's like, Simon, where you've got the youth pastor growing up and you're going, I'm not going forward. The youth pastor's got to do it. Whoa. And he says this, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching. This is God speaking. Actually, it's Moses speaking about the statutes and ordinances that God gave him. So that you might enter and occupy the land. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it. In Preston St. Mary, over the archway, those of you who've been there will know, there is the script, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Very holiness approach to life. Imagine people coming with their offering or coming to communion and seeing that over the top as we do Sunday by Sunday. It feels like there's a heaviness to it. And yet, the law, James tells us, brings liberty. And so we come to our passage in Mark 7, and this is where you might want the table. The lectionary setters have chopped this about, and in a very unhelpful way, because you don't realize who Jesus is speaking to or interacting with. The bits in bold on the left-hand side are the bits we have read. The bits in normal type are the bits that have been omitted. And you see, Jesus has this dialogue first with the Pharisees, then with the crowd, and then with his disciples. There's a narrative flow. And the Pharisees and scribes, Jesus has already been causing a commotion. They've sent up a delegation from Jerusalem, and they're starting to question him. And because a rabbi who had disciples took responsibility for his disciples, don't you just love that idea, Simon? The Pharisees asked Jesus about what his disciples are doing, because he is responsible for their conduct. And they're not washing their hands. Now, this is not a hygiene thing. We read with a 21st century view, of course you wash your hands before you eat. It's only hygienic, particularly post-COVID. It was hygienic pre-COVID, but a lot of people didn't think about it. But this is about ritual. This is about ritual and cleanliness. The idea that if eating something, you could become ritually unclean, and therefore you washed. It's oral tradition that has been added to the law. Because it says here that all Jews did it. Now, probably all Jews didn't. That's a bit of an exaggeration, because certain occupations like tanning wouldn't enable you to do that before you ate. But it comes back from the laws in Leviticus about the priests that the Pharisees were now imposing on everybody. They had added to, partly because of such concern for breaking the law, they did what's called put a fence around the law. A fence that was wider than the law itself to avoid accidentally breaking the law. Does that make sense to you? So we've now got a widening of the law beyond what God had commanded. Now, we'd never do that here in Lavenham, would we? We wouldn't add to what God says about coming to worship with joyful hearts, praise, with the right attitude. We wouldn't add things like standing up in the right place, sitting down in the right place, bowing in the right place, if you're Anglo-Catholic, genuflecting in the right place, ringing bells in the right place. We wouldn't add any of that, would we? Now, yes, at times things like that enhance our worship. Don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it. But when we make that law, and if you step out of line, you've got it wrong, we're adding. And Jesus makes this accusation against the Pharisees. It's scathing. Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. The Greek word there is the same word for actor, to put on a mask. You're acting something out. It's not real. You're hypocrites. Because what God is seeking is purity of heart, and Jesus is saying you don't have that. That the human traditions that you've added on are worthless. Interestingly, as Jesus speaks, he declares in the bit that's taken out, he declares all food clean. Some of the things that we read in the Old Testament, Jesus has done away with. Some we still adhere to. But in the latter part, he's talking about an attitude of heart, not an adherence to human teaching. If you like the European law, what's the purpose behind the law? Unlike the English approach of the letter of the law, you can keep to the letter of the law, but not be complying with the spirit or the purpose of the law. I'm reminded of my daughter. My daughter's quite strong-willed. And one time I told her to sit down, and she went, no. Sit down. No. Sit down. And she sat down, and under her breath muttered, but I'm still standing up on the inside. She'd complied with the instruction, but with a wrong spirit. Brothers and sisters, as we come to God's word, as what God instructs us to do, do we fulfill it by the letter of the law, but without the spirit and the heart behind it? I pose that question to myself, I pose that question to us all. Do we get into what Jesus says? What God says in his word, what Jesus says in the Gospels, what Paul and Peter writing to the churches say, and really dig into it and say, okay, what's the heart behind this? Not just the simple letter and instruction. And do we then live that out? I'll leave you to think about that over the coming week. Amen.